Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Disney things.
We do.
Specifically this week, we're talking about The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride.
Woo.
So, as I have said many times on this podcast,
including Lion King 2 story.
Last week, Lion King 2 is the first movie I ever didn't like. When I was a child.
It's worth noting that there haven't been that many others that you've encountered that you don't like since then.
I mean, I don't like a fair amount of movies, but, like, this was the first time where I was in and be like, this isn't what I want it to be. Am I allowed to do that?
Dislike a movie. Yes, Tiny Joel. And it was worth it.
So I haven't seen it since then.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen a little snippets here and there, but I haven't sat down and watched it since that watching way back in 1998.
I feel like I watched it at some point on TV, but didn't like watch the whole thing sort of thing.
So I was like, let me go into this with open mind and open heart.
How'd that go?
Yeah, I was right, you guys.
Yeah.
I was right and you were all wrong.
Well, okay. So I think the thing with Lion King 2 is that it's not good. I'm not going to say that it's good or even remotely enjoyable. Like, I got real bored about halfway through this movie. But it's not as bad as some others.
It is not.
And it's mostly just, like, in the year since, when Disney has made terrible, terrible, terrible sequels, Lion King 2 somehow got a little bit better in my eyes because it wasn't as bad as the others.
Yes. So Lion King 2 was released on VHS October 27th, 1998.
When did original Lion King come out?
1994.
94, okay.
Yeah. So, about 4 years later, and some change. it was released only on VHS. It wasn't released on DVD till about a year later. So, it was right at that time.
Awkward time.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, DVD players are $1,000. My rich friend has one. We can go watch one movie on DVD, and it's magical.
The first thing that happens in The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride, is we get a song that we're going to call Not the Circle of Life.
Not the Circle of Life, yeah.
Which, standing on its own, as its own existence, is a fine song.
Yeah, it's really, honestly, of the songs in this movie, probably the best song.
Yeah, it comes from The Lion King Broadway show.
Yes.
Which I think was 96.
Okay.
So it comes from that. It's not a bad song. It's called
He Lives in You.
He Lives in You.
Yeah.
So it's basically a recreation of Circle of Life.
Yeah.
The animals are coming to visit the baby from the end of the first movie.
Yeah.
Who was definitely a boy at the end of Lion King.
Was he a boy?
He was definitely a boy at the end of the first Lion King.
Do we know for sure?
We know absolutely for sure. Because?
Because?
There was, of course, Lion King Expanded Universe material released.
Oh, of course. Like picture books and stuff? Mm-hmm.
He has a son who's mysteriously disappeared from the Lion King canon now. He was also
secretly Kovu. This movie's way weirder.
He was originally going to be a boy, and it was always going to be a girl story, you know, Simba trying to raise a daughter, but earlier drafts of this movie had
an older brother,
because that movie ended with a boy, until somebody was like, yeah, baby boy line, baby girl line pretty much look the same. We are really overthinking this, which they were.
Yeah,
that's so it's fair. Like, nope, it was actually a girl.
I have no problems with that.
No, whatever. I have no problem with that. So the animation in this movie is not bad.
It's way better than a lot of the sequel animation.
Yes.
I think part of it is it looks like they reuse backgrounds from Lion King,
mm-hmm.
Which are, you know, beautiful, so that's fine. And then the animation is fine. I wouldn't say it's like...
It has had the unfair task of following Lion King,
which is
one of, if not their prettiest movies.
Yeah.
And so if you compare it to, like, Aladdin 2, you're like, okay, this is
better, yeah.
Yeah, definitely better than what Aladdin did. So, it's okay, but then, throughout this movie, there's a lot of scenes where it's a big, expansive shot,
mm-hmm.
and where in The Lion King, it would have been like, you know, very lively and wind blowing through the trees and the rippling.
Very still.
It's very still.
It's a very...
Nothing...
Very boring Savannah.
Nothing that's not a main character moves in this entire movie.
Yeah, I think they literally just used the background paintings and didn't touch them. Which is good, like, don't touch them. But, like...
They pulled a single frame from the movie.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, did you have those, like... kind of magnetic toys, it was like very soft magnetic things so you could like stick and then play, but you know they were all still in this one scene.
Yeah,
that's what it reminded me of. Is these, or
it reminded me of like early computer games when it would have like a little like GIF animation over top of a like static background.
Yeah,
for like I had a Thumbelina one like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
being that this came out in 1998, it might have been.
That's
exactly
pretty much,
that.
Yeah.
The titles, when the titles hit in The Lion King, and then Simba's Pride comes out.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. It looks like Windows Movie Maker.
It's so bad. The titles bothered me so bad in this movie, because they were all so sudden and, like, bad and stupid.
It was like it was made on Windows Movie Maker. Like,
right, yeah.
It was a weirdly bad decision.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I don't know exactly why or what that happens. So we get the Circle of Life. It's not the Circle of Life. Mufasa's there in the sky.
Mufasa is around for a whole lot of this movie for being a dead guy. He just keeps showing up, and Simba keeps being like, this is the only person I have to ask for help. Not my wife or the rest of my pride or Rafiki, who's there the whole time, but nobody seems to ask him about anything. Only my dead dad, who doesn't actually speak to me because he's dead.
So... Mufasa's advice, I guess, or sage wisdom, takes the form of wind.
Pocahontas.
It's Pocahontas magic wind.
Pocahontas wind with the little leaves and the round thing. Berries? Are they? I don't know.
We get one shot of him at the beginning of this movie, and it's clearly Mufasa in the sky. And, like, Rafiki sees him. Rafiki's like, yeah, and he gives, like, finger guns up to Mufasa or something.
Probably, yeah. That's about right, yeah.
And so... I was like, oh, does everybody see the giant loading
platform? I don't know. I don't understand why Mufasa's here, though. Like, this first song, I get why there's, like, a reference to Mufasa. I get it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like every part of Simba in this movie annoyed me. And most of what Simba did was talk to his dead dad. Like,
so,
please calm down.
Mufasa in Lion King was basically a cloud shaped like a lion.
Yeah.
Like, and it talked and had James Earl Jones' voice coming out of it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And even when, like, the clouds open and there's actual Mufasa, he's still very, like, mysterious and, like, wispy and stuff.
Now he's clip art Mufasa copy-pasted into some clouds.
Yep.
He doesn't even move most of the time. It's just, hello. Ugh.
So, interesting choice. All right. And that's when we get the, you know, oh, this little guy. Girl, what? What an unexpected twist. Timon and Pumbaa can't handle the concept.
I hated Timon and Pumbaa in this movie.
Timon and Pumbaa weren't necessary
in
this
movie.
There was
no reason for them to be there, and they literally just made the same jokes that they made in the first one.
Yeah.
In really awkward,
that's like,
repetitive ways.
That's something that didn't bother me. Because that's the thing, like, there's a lot of stuff that bothered me the first time watching this when I was a wee child of 8.
wee baby Joel being cranky.
And so, but now, like, watching it now, it's like, oh, all this stuff still bothers me. And a whole plethora of new
stuff. Yeah, all new stuff has opened up to you. A whole new world of problems with Lion King 2.
Because Timon and Pumbaa didn't bother me as a child. They made fart and burp jokes, like... Hey. Okay, that's kind of what was up my alley as a child. But now it's like, oh, they're really inconsequential to this story.
Yeah, yeah.
They're only in this because they were in the last movie.
Yeah, they're trying to be comedic relief, but they're not doing it well. So
no.
It really just feels like, oh, they were in the last one, so they have to be in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awkward and stupid.
So
they could be on vacation somewhere. That would be fine.
Or even, like, just a subplot where they're, like, you know...
Doing something?
Tracking an extra tasty bug, like...
Anything.
I don't need a lot out of that, but...
Would have been better than just randomly sticking them in places.
So there's a scene we're coming up on where... Kiara's about to go out on an adventure, and, you know, Simba's like, all right, but, you know, stay on the path, worried dad stuff, and he's like, hey, Timon and Pumbaa, come over here and watch her. They are literally standing there doing
nothing. They're literally just just standing there. That's their entire role in the movie, is to stand around until Simba says something to them.
Like, there's...
It's so bad. But also, like, why not Zazu? Isn't that Zazu's job?
So, Rowan Atkinson didn't return for Zazu.
God,
he's, like,
no.
One of the very few
Good
voices.
Good job, Rowan Atkinson, for being like,
But I really noticed it.
Yeah.
Like,
it was obvious.
And the thing's like, Dan Castellaneta replaced Robin Williams. But
he's a good Robin
Williams. He's doing his best Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Like, that's for all the, you know, issues that could have been, they really, I mean, that's the thing. You have Robin Williams, now you have not Robin Williams. Like, uh-oh, you're in trouble. So, for all the ways that could have gone wrong, not bad.
Yeah.
In this case, it's like, that Zazu.
It literally just sounds like another British guy. They didn't really care if it sounded, like, similarly British, or from the same area, or at all like Rowan Atkinson. They were just like, he's British. It'll do.
Yeah. So, I think it was probably a good call that Zazu doesn't have too much to say in this movie.
No, but if they cut out Timon and Pumbaa, maybe they could have afforded bringing someone who could do a reasonable Rowan Atkinson impression. Okay.
We get,
Don't go to the Badlands. It's not the Badlands anymore. What happened to the Badlands? No, it wasn't Badlands.
No, it was the Elephant Graveyard.
What happened to the Elephant Graveyard?
They go to the Elephant Graveyard at some point in this movie when
they're
setting the sticks on fire.
When they're setting the sticks on fire. Okay.
So I guess the Elephant Graveyard is totally safe now. She can go there if she wants.
It's totally fine.
The hyenas, they mentioned the hyenas have left.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't go to the Badlands or the Outerlands.
The Outlands.
And then there's like, you know.
Simba's really paranoid. Simba's really paranoid to an annoying point, where, like, he doesn't even seem just, like, a regular annoying paranoid dad. He seems like an over-the-top, like, really uncomfortable.
So, as a kid, and I get this is a little unfair, but I was 8.
That's fair.
As a kid, I was really kind of bummed out that my Awesome Lion King movie had a stupid girl character front and center now.
Joel!
All of a sudden.
Joel!
Because the movie was called Simba's Pride, and Simba wasn't the main character.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, and so going into it, like, oh, the further adventures of Simba, and Simba's relegated to this side character. And it's kind of interesting because he's, in some cases, the Mufasa character, but Mufasa was pretty much a perfect dad, all things. Like, he always knew the right thing to say. He was always right in his opinions. Like, we didn't have time to see Mufasa as a complicated and flawed character.
No, he was just...
He was, like...
Good dad.
Maybe a little angry sometimes.
Yeah.
But he's also, like, James Earl Jones, and he has a deep, booming voice, so even when he's excited...
He seems a little angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, this whole, like, I feel like there's kind of conflicting stories here where we're supposed to be like, oh, this child should learn to mind her parents, but at the same time, oh, the parents wrong a lot.
I'm like...
Because it's this...
If it was just like, don't go near this place, it's dangerous, that's fine. But, like, he never explains anything to her or... Does any actual parenting? I think there's, like, one scene where he parents. But even then, it's a little, like, mostly he just nags. So it just seems like he's, like, not... He's just annoying. Really annoying. Just go away, Simba.
And I don't know if my Simba character from the first movie would be like this.
It seems unlikely. And on top of that, Nala is hardly involved with the parenting of this child.
No, she's not.
Which is extra weird, because, like, that doesn't seem like Nala at all. So, like, they were both so out of character and awkward and annoying, and it was weird.
So she can't go to the Outer Lands. Outlands.
Yeah.
But then she sees them, and she's like, whoa, and I'm like, that doesn't look that interesting.
It looks real dull.
It's kind of deserty.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, okay, so when they went, whoa, at the Elephant Graveyard, the Elephant Graveyard looked awesome.
What I don't understand is there are no other cubs. Where are the other children?
There are no other anything.
Nothing.
If it is not deathly critical to the plot of this movie,
it does not exist. Yeah. So there's totally other lionesses in the Pride, and they do not have cubs, and it weirds me out. And that means that Kiara has no friends, which is extra weird and sad. Well,
she has no friends. The other lionesses only pop up when somebody's like, look at all the lionesses. Yeah. Like, if it's just, you know, a scene with Simba and Kiara, nothing. Nobody. The background is deserted.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same thing. And so she, like, so we're, like, maybe 10 minutes into this movie, and she just wanders into the Outlands.
Yeah, just because.
And meets Kovu.
Oh, my God. So my favorite part of the Outlands was every time they showed it. I totally forgot, but I made a note, and it was beautiful. Every time they showed it, and anyone said the Outlands, it would, like, be this really intense, drastic zoom-in and a swell of music for the Outlands. And it happened, like, 2 or 3 times in a row and just cracked me up. Ugh, it was so bad.
So, they get attacked by alligators. Like, a lot of alligators.
Alligators or crocodiles?
Might be crocodiles. I don't know.
You know, large, slappy, snappy reptile things. That's all I got.
You know, those things.
Yeah.
They look like logs sometimes, apparently.
Apparently. Although, I have totally seen, like, alligator crocodile type things in the water. They never look like logs. Why do people think they look like logs?
So they escape, and then they're like, ah, ha, ha, what a life-threatening adventure we just had. We're best friends now.
Yep.
Because that's understandable, since there's no other lions your age in Africa.
Well,
in all of Africa.
Kiara, like, starts trying to play tag with him, and he doesn't know what tag is. He also, later in the movie, does not know what fun is, which is great. But I don't know how she knows how to play tag, because she has no friends. So who taught her how to play tag? Who plays tag with her?
I don't know.
Is it Simba, who worries about everything? Like, I'm not sure that he would feel comfortable running or poking or anything related. So, like, I don't understand.
So the parents show up.
Yeah.
And apparently, unbeknownst to us, in the entirety of Lion King 1, there was, like, this slew of lionesses that were all on Scar's side.
Which doesn't make any sense, because the only lionesses we saw in the first one were sad and downtrodden and stayed when Simba came back, because they were like, yeah.
Yeah. And we had a huge lioness versus hyena fight.
Yeah.
Like, were there some lionesses on the hyena side?
I don't know.
I feel like all that's really important information to how, like, if that had happened, I feel like Lion King 1 would have turned out differently and a lot more grim.
Yeah, a lot weirder.
So,
which is how this movie is set up. Which is weird. I don't...
Well, and it's just... It's also not clear what they did. Did they, like... Were they on his fight... On Scar's side in that one specific fight? Did they, like, later try and, like, retake over the kingdom?
And, like, it's implied that he had children. Like, some of them are referenced as his children. It's like, when did that happen?
So it's very specifically said this Kovu character
was not his kid, but was
his chosen heir.
I guess so.
Originally...
Whose kid is he?
He's definitely... What's the mom's name? Zala? Zero?
Zira. Yeah.
He's definitely Zira's kid, right?
Yeah.
Which makes him Andy Dick's brother.
Yeah.
So he was originally going to be Scar's child.
Okay.
And then Michael Eisner was like, that makes them first cousins. Don't do that.
Yeah, but your only other option for male lions in the entire movie is either Mufasa or Simba. So they're either, you know, cousins or brother and sister.
So
is that better?
I mean, I think he has, you know, nondescript distant father.
Because, like, There are no male lions in their pride, and there are no male lions other than Simba in the other pride. So, like...
Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing for
you. They're related no matter what you do, I think.
But then...
Also, it's Shakespeare. They can be cousins.
Well, it ends up being this really weird, like, yeah, here's a side of Scar you never knew. And it's like, but it doesn't add up or affect anything or
matter at all. Why?
And so I feel like there's a really interesting thing here that they, like, skim close to several times in this movie with, like, okay, you know, people who might like Scar better, people, you know, there's like, oh, why did Mufasa get to be king just because he was born first? You know, let's question the whole, you know, idea of how, you know, kings work.
Sure.
There's lots of stuff that could have been like, you know, and there's a lot of histories written by the winners, you know, multiple sides to every story.
And there could have been a lot good tied in with that, in that, like, Kira clearly has no interest in being a queen right now, so, like, mm-hmm. that would have been an interesting conversation to have in that context, sure.
But all of that is thrown away for, like, this literal single-minded kill Simba focus of the bad guy.
Really weird.
One of the things, like, I have no other... She has no other motivation in her life.
No.
Just... And, like... So, there's a point later in the movie where she basically prays to Scar, like...
Yeah, it's weird. As he's...
Him and Mufasa have ascended to like, deity status among these lions.
Mufasa's always been, like, weirdly deity. Even in the first one, it was like, is he a god now? I don't know how that works. But, yeah, putting Scar there is extra strange.
Yeah. So... The kids are abandoned, like, not allowed to ever see each other again.
Oh, there's a nice little Shakespeare reference in here where Zira refers to Kofu as a pound of flesh. I'm like, that's the wrong play. That's the wrong play on both accounts. That is neither Hamlet nor Romeo and Juliet.
So, we get We Are One, which is Simba's song.
These lyrics are so bad. They're so bad.
I did write, so, I wrote a little on the nose with the lyrics, then again... We don't like what we don't understand. In fact, it scares us.
That's fair.
Like.
That's okay, but at least those fit, like, the actual, like, tempo and notes of the song. I feel like they tried. They, like, wrote some lyrics and wrote a song entirely separately and tried to squeeze them together, and it didn't work very well.
This comes from the issue of, I feel like, as far as Kara's story was, it was like, let's just do Lion King again.
Yeah.
Where, like, the kid doesn't understand what their dad wants. They'll understand when they're older, but they gotta go on an adventure and disobey first. But this time around, the dad's trying to be more of a main character. The dad has to have some character arc in him as well.
Yeah.
Which... I don't want to say, like, you can't do that. You can have more than one character have an arc.
But when you're on a tight budget.
And tight budget.
Not a lot of your plot makes sense. Maybe
very
you should,
short movie.
Maybe you should cut down the focus a little.
Well, and I feel like the stories are undercutting each other a little
bit. Well, like, the song really, really bothered me because it's a duet. It's got Kiara and Simba singing, and they're singing about completely unrelated things. Mm-hmm. Like, Simba is singing about how your family is always there for you and will support you no matter what or whatever, and Kiara's like, I don't know if I want to be queen. And I'm like, these two things have nothing in common, you guys. Like, you're both members of a family having different problems, I guess, but, like, that's the only thing that connects these two.
Yeah.
And it's weird as hell, because, like, the song makes no sense if you take it all together. It only makes sense if you completely separate both parts. So, and even then, it doesn't fit the music.
I made a note every time, because there are several shots in this movie where nobody moves.
Yep.
They're, like, big, grandiose shots of, like one of them's when they're all bowing at the beginning, and nobody, they're all in bow pose, and they're frozen.
They're very good at bowing, okay? Yeah.
So, like, the main characters will move, nothing else in the shot moves.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, back in the Outlands.
Oh, God.
So, we meet Andy Dick the Lion.
Nuka?
Sure.
I think.
Sure.
Andy Dick Lion. We're just gonna call him Andy Dick Lion.
So...
Who put Andy Dick in a children's movie?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whose idea was that?
I don't know. But...
And, like, you know... A lot of times they put comedians in kids' movies, and I'm like, but it works out fine. But Andy Dick would not be top of that list for me.
No. No. There's also this other lion, who is Kovu's sister?
I don't know.
I just wrote down Draco Malfoy lion.
Oh, she's a little bit of a Draco Malfoy lion. I believe her name is Patani.
All right. Patani, the Draco Malfoy lion.
She is really, yeah. Well, yeah, because...
Both in, like, added, and if you, like, went to DeviantArt and typed in Draco Malfoy lion, I bet you get something that looked eerily similar, like, to that.
Zira is totally Malfoy lion, so yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, then she's yelling, not she's Zira, Zira is yelling at Kofu.
Yeah.
And she yells, And what did you think? That Simba would just welcome you back with open arms? And I went,
what?
Do they know what arms are?
Oh.
Do they?
I hadn't thought about it.
Do they? I don't know. Like, Rafiki has arms, so, like,
I mean, they have.
Are they? They're aware of, like, arms in existence on other animals.
I had not thought about the colloquial phrase "open arms" much.
But
open leg segment.
I know they can't say that. Like, clearly, they can't say that. But like,
open paws.
Would just open paws is fine.
Open
or just would welcome you into the hole.
Because there is a lot of like weird paw things in this movie. Like they say like follow in his paw steps or follow in his paw prints.
Yeah.
A lot, and it just sounds really stilted and stupid. So yeah, they probably could have done the same for open arms there.
But so. Yeah, that one's like, oh, all right.
Open limbs.
It doesn't need to be open anything. Just like, you thought Simba would welcome you into the fold.
Yeah, that would be good.
I mean,
yeah.
So,
okay.
This gives her an idea. And it's her idea that we will sneak Kovu into the Simba pride.
And then Kovu will kill Simba. It's the, like, it's the Russian brainwashing, like, Cold War spy plot.
This is not the part of the movie that's based on Romeo and Juliet.
No, clearly. I'm not really sure. This movie tried real hard to be like, it's Romeo and Juliet, and I kept being like, no.
Is it though?
There's like two kids from different groups of things, I guess. That's it. That's where it ends.
I mean, Lion King 1 isn't a rigorous retelling of Hamlet.
No, but I'm going with Andy Dick Lyon does not get to be Mercutio because he's not that cool.
Fair enough.
Zara sings a song. It's terrible.
Yes.
It's a really bad song. It's very violent. Like, there's a lot of words and imagery that's like, ugh. And she does it screaming at the top of her lungs while this child is sleeping. And he manages to sleep through the whole thing.
Yeah, so
Kofi's a very deep sleeper.
This is called My Lullaby. And apparently it was the lyrics were written by Joss Whedon. This is not the strongest piece of work on his resume.
I can't imagine. He got better by the time he did the Buffy musical.
Yes, let's point out that if this came out in 98, he was basically writing this at the same time he would have been writing, like, season one of Buffy, maybe season two of Buffy.
Joss Whedon's problem while Buffy was on was that he kept trying to do things that weren't Buffy, and then Buffy suffered because of it, and so did everything else.
So, yeah, not even his strongest, like, contribution to Disney, because he added Rex into Toy Story.
Toy Story, yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, I can't be like, oh, Joss Whedon did it, it's okay now. I can
no, dig awful. Into it and it's see really
the,
bad.
No, it's not a good song. It's not a great song.
No.
So we get a little scene where Rafiki is basically arguing with Wind Mufasa. Which cements the point that Rafiki's the best part of this movie.
Rafiki is the best part of this movie. Rafiki's the best part of this movie and 100% unutilized. Like, nobody talks to Rafiki this whole movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what would solve all of your problems, Rafiki? If you just go talk to Simba for, like, 5 seconds and be like, okay, listen. Your dead dad was like, these two kids should get together and it'll be great. And Simba would have been like, well, if dead dad says it, all right. And that would have been fine.
Yeah.
Which, I suppose, is part of the problem with Romeo and Juliet, is that nobody talks to each other, so, like,
that
right.
Part they took from the original source
material. All right, miscommunication and nobody communicating at all is totally original Shakespeare.
Then we get a huge time jump.
Everyone's old.
Out of nowhere. No, like, you know, the time passed kind of thing. No
yep.
Walking over a magic log.
Nope.
Nothing. It's just, like,
he literally, Kovu wakes up from his nap.
Yeah.
Kovu wakes up in the morning and is suddenly 10 years older. Yeah.
And, like, they have this, like, psych him up to kill Simba moment. Which just feeds into the, like, these guys are so one-dimensional.
So, Kovu is, like, one of the few things that I vaguely remembered from this movie. And primarily because kids on DeviantArt loved Kovu. And I had not remembered it very well, so when he, like, grew up and started talking, I was like, guys, your favorite hot lion, is Max from a Goofy movie. That's who he is. Immediately my brain was like, who is that? Who is that? That's Max. It's Max from a Goofy movie. And a Goofy movie too. That's, yep. Good awesome. Job, kids on DeviantArt, and your preferences for, I awesome. Mean, really, really delightful voice actors. I'll give you that, but, so, Kiara's all grown up, and she gets to go hunting. Okay.
Yeah.
So at least they, like, kind of got the point that lionesses are the ones that hunt. Okay.
Well, it's her first big hunt day, right?
Yeah, but lionesses hunt in groups.
Yeah. Which really undercuts the whole do this on my own mantra of the movie.
Yeah, which is weird. Like,
of the whole movie.
The whole movie is just do everything on your own. And then Simba's like, but your family will be over here on Pride Rock to support you from very, very far away.
So,
it's weird.
He sends Timon and Pumbaa after her, because that's their sole function in the universe now.
Literally following lions around.
And then they lose her. And she's like, Timon's like,
Timon made a beeper joke.
Someone get a beeper for this kid.
And my brain was like, huh? why?
Well, I was like, okay, did bells used to be called beepers at some point? Like, no. Is he talking about, like, the pre-cell phone beeper
no.
thing?
He's literally he's literally talking about beepers. Like, pre-cell phones. Doctors still have them, beepers.
This. So, let's talk for a second.
Joel has put down his notes. This is how serious this is.
So, this movie is so cartoony. Yeah. And I mean that differently than, like, yeah, Lion King was animated. It was an animated movie.
Yeah.
But all of the characters in that movie were animals.
Yeah.
They were their animals. They were their, you know, these characters. And there were references to stuff. There was, like, they sang The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Yeah.
But it's small, and it's subtle, and it still kind of works, because it's still a musical. Like,
yeah.
It isn't...
It's not serious.
We're leaning on the fourth wall, but we're still leaning in the same spot that we are in any musical ever.
Right.
This movie is so cartoony. There's a scene where Andy Dick accidentally, like, engulfs himself in flames, and then he grabs his butt and flies, like, 40 feet up in the air and then bounces.
Man, I hated Andy Dick.
There's a scene where something pecks Timon on the nose and his nose, like, blinks red.
Yeah.
There's a scene where they almost run into rhinos and their eyes literally, like, bug out of their heads. There's a conga line of animals where they stop being animals.
We haven't even gotten to that conga line yet. Oh my god. Like,
they stop being animals for a while because they have to be a cartoon character now.
It's weird.
And that's really, really frustrating.
There's also a lot of, like, lion movement that I'm like, I don't think they can do that. I don't think their limbs work that way.
It's just, it's so jarringly different
mm-hmm.
from this movie where I watch the special features and they're bringing lions into a studio and being like, hope this doesn't eat me, but I gotta know how this lion works. Like, I'm like, dedication to craft. Yeah. Good job, animator. Yeah. And then there's the other one, they're like, can lions do conga lines? Lions can probably do conga lines.
Right. Also, beepers. Beepers are a thing, right?
And there's beepers. They do a joke earlier in the movie where they do great taste, less filling, which is a Miller Lite commercial
from
the
80s.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Miller Lite commercial from the 80s.
That's good.
And they're talking about bugs and they're, you know, taste better, less filling.
Oh my god, that scene was so unnecessary, too. It was just.
So, it just. I didn't care for any of this. This is all, like, and it's, none of it's, like, you know, movie-breaking issues. There's not, like, they did what, the end, shut the movie down.
But it's so
constant.
Yeah, there was enough of it that it was
frustrating. There's something in every scene that's like, oh, that isn't working well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so constant. It's such, very frustrating. So, they set the Pride Lands on fire.
I don't know why.
What they're trying to do, it would seem to me, they're going to set the Pride Lands on fire to create a danger for Kiara, for Kovu to save her from this danger. I mean, it's fire, and she runs away from it.
It's kind of stupid.
And, like, Zazu sees him save Kiara, Rafiki does this weird, like, yeah, how dare you save the king's daughter.
Rafiki's conveniently there. He just pops up out of nowhere. Hey, I heard there's a fire. I'll come hang out.
This is another thing where I'm assuming there's animation that where he did finger guns that they ended up scrapping for the fire. Because he clearly was doing finger guns the way he talked right here.
I agree.
So Kovu tells everyone he's rejected his pride. He wants to be part of Simba's pride now.
All right.
So also, side note, clearly the title, Lion King 2, Simba's Pride, is supposed to be a clever double meaning there. Because
fun.
Lion pride, and also the daughter is like the apple of his eye thing. But to that.
Yeah.
Can there be two lions in a pride? Two male lions? Is that allowed?
I don't think so.
Like,
I think it's like a harem structure.
Well, they didn't kick Scar out back when he was still, you know, Mufasa's brother.
Well, yeah.
Like, he still got
I don't think that was accurate
either. He got a little cave underneath the rock or something.
Yeah, I don't think that was accurate either, but we're just ignoring it because it's a better movie. That's pretty much how that goes.
So.
Okay, so they go back to Prague Rock with Kovu. They're like, all right, come on, let's go. So
they're reserving judgment.
It's nighttime, and they're going back into the cave on Prague Rock where they sleep. And there is an honest-to-goodness bell tolling in the background of the scene, and it drove me nuts, because I was like, ah, yes, ding-dong bedtime for the lions on the prairie, and what? Well, it's so odd. It's not part of a song. There's no, like score reason for it to be here. It's literally just a bell dinging as though it's, like, bedtime.
Cartoon issues.
Yeah. It's weird as hell.
Yeah.
It really weirded me out.
There's a brief little scene where he's like, you can't hunt. Tomorrow, I'm gonna teach you how to hunt.
Which is weird, because male lions don't hunt. Fine. Fine. Yeah. Whatever. Also, like, what has he been hunting? They eat, like, termites or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They do, honestly, there's this thing that runs through where she's too loud when she hunts. She keeps kicking
rocks
and stepping on sticks.
She's not good at hunting. I'm not saying that. I'm just not sure why he's the one to
teach her to hunt. But it's nice that, like, they had this foreshadowed, so when he's like, you're still too loud, I can be like, oh, yeah, when she kicked the rock and she stepped on the stick earlier. It's not like, why is she loud all of a sudden?
Simba has a nightmare.
Yes.
Simba has a nightmare that's, like, half his dad dying and half Kovu killing Simba.
So they're hunting, they run into Timon and Pumbaa, they have some fun, basically. This is the scene where Kovu learns to have fun.
He literally, like, does not understand the concept of the word.
Then they have a stargazing scene. And again, I see the scene being pitched in a meeting and seeming like a great idea.
Yeah, sure.
Like, they have a stargazing scene in the first one.
Stargazing is romantic.
It's romantic.
It's not bad to animate, because it's a bunch of dots.
There's stargazing in the first movie. Like, they drop a lot of stars.
Nice little
callback.
There's
a nice little callback.
Yeah.
This is a great scene to start being like, okay, you know, he's having to look at the world differently. He's always been taught this thing about Scar. He's, you know, missing these pieces of the history. There's genuine, like, struggle of, you know, I understand Scar's not as great as I thought he was, but I'm still having to struggle with these, like, issues and complicated feelings.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can we really, really dumb this down? All this interesting nuance and character development. Ah, this is perfect.
Yep.
So... Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, there's nothing there. It's like, here's all this buildup. Here's all this stuff. Like, okay, yeah, I can see. No, we're done now. Let go. Good job, us.
You know what we needed instead? We needed a Rafiki sign. A Rafiki, trippy, crazy.
It's the Tunnel of Love. The Tunnel of Love is.
Tunnel of Love sign.
Is in the Pride Lands. Just so you know.
They eat fruit in this thing.
Yeah, so...
I'm so confused.
If this wasn't a movie, if this was a soundtrack and only a soundtrack, this song would be awesome.
It's delightful.
It's a fun song. Rafiki's having a blast singing it.
Yeah, he's clearly enjoying himself, so that's something.
So, yeah.
And he's, again, the best part of this movie, so, like, all right,
As a music video? Yeah, all right.
Okay. But there's also, okay, there's two big problems here. One is that it's weird as hell. Like, everything's rainbow colored and trippy and weird and completely out of context. The other is that Rafiki's like, Lions, you should really get together, which is weird.
Well, this scene is clearly taking the place of Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, if we don't have Elton John to write us a beautiful chart-topping power ballad, let's go 180 in the other direction and do the delightful song.
It feels like Kiss the Girl, but Rafiki is not Kiara's wingman. He's not been around the whole time being like, you should get with this dude. He literally just shows up and is like, your dead grandfather was like, kids should get it on, so here I am. Well, here's my song.
I think because, you know, Can You Feel the Love happens in this lush, gorgeous jungle,
yeah.
They're like, oh, this has happened. So there's like this random, I don't know, 10-foot by 10-foot lush, gorgeous jungle for
it's
them to do this.
It's very weird.
Because it's completely unrelated setting-wise to the rest of the Pride Lands.
There's also a lot of it missing. Like, it looked like they were trying to put them on a river the whole time, but they didn't actually bother to animate the river most of the time. And, like, half the background was just vague, blurry, pretty colors.
Again, there's also a conga line in this.
There's several. Various species have conga lines.
Yes. So,
you know what it felt like? It felt like they were trying to squeeze both I Just Can't Wait to Be King and Can You Feel the Love Tonight together.
Yeah.
Like, visually, it reminds me a lot of I Just Can't Wait to Be King.
It does, because it's got a lot of the color switches and stuff.
But which was a little bit out of place in the first movie, but worked well enough because the song was good, and it was clearly from a child's point of view that, like, okay, that's a little weird and funny, but, like, he's, like, 7.
Yeah.
You think things are a little weird and funny, but, like, these are grown people falling in love, I guess, and rainbows. And conga lines. And I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it either. It would not have been my first choice.
Yep.
I will say. Let's see. What happens next?
Simba's like, I totally trust you, Kovu.
Yeah. Okay.
After
brand
like
new issue. Here we go.
2 days.
So he's standing on Pride Rock talking to himself so that we can get this exposition as an audience.
Yeah.
Where he's like, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell the truth because I love the girl. And I'm definitely going to... I've renounced my ways. Here I go. I hope they believe me. This is all to nobody. Then he walks in, and he's like, I gotta talk to you. And Simba's like, no, I gotta talk to you.
And Kara's like, oh, look, they're having a conversation, so I can go get married, I guess?
So then the scene cuts, and they are several miles
away. They've just wandered up. They've been talking about this whole time.
Exactly. There's clearly
Are they having that awkward, like, dad and your boyfriend conversation where they're talking about, like, cars or golf or something that, like, neither of them really likes, but that's kind of what they have to talk about because they're dudes.
Maybe.
That's all I can think of.
Because those exist. Like, that's the thing. I get that.
Yeah.
But
I've witnessed those conversations.
They are clearly, like,
sorry, every boyfriend I ever have. Dad really likes golf.
They are multiple miles away from Pride Rock. He's got a thing that he's got to say.
And he hasn't said it yet.
And then all these, you know, outland lionesses show up and they're like, ah, thanks, Kovu. You let him into our trap. Was Kovu leading Simba like, we should go this way? And Kovu's like, no, we should go this way, no reason.
I don't know.
Because
why did they wander that far? Why did they not stick around Pride Rock, which is clearly huge, because when they had that song earlier with Simba and Kiara, it was massive and they climbed around on Pride Rock for like 20 minutes. I don't understand.
I don't know.
I'm very confused.
And, like,
maybe he did it reflexively?
It was strong.
Like, oh, let's wander. Oh, I've wandered in the wrong direction.
Well, it was strongly implied that Simba was leading this conversation.
Right.
Both the conversation and their physical direction. Like, let's go. We're going this way. Follow me. And then he's walking. And then, like, you let him into our trap. Like, he was in charge.
Yeah. I know. I don't understand.
But no, he's like, yeah, Kovu, how could you? So.
All right. So, there's a lion fight here. And actually, the fights in this movie are not bad. I thought that they would be terrible because the animation's like a little less than, but it was passable. It was totally fine.
They're not bad.
And then, okay. So, like, Kovu, they're running up sticks to get out.
Yeah.
Or something.
There's some, like, log pile.
I don't know why they're there. Anyway, so they're running up the sticks, and Simba falls, and Kovu pulls him up, and Andy Dick Lion dies.
So here's what I'm 1,000% sure happened at some point. There was this idea of a division between the Pride Lands and the Outlands, and the Outlands are all dried up, and they're largely dried up because this basically large dam is keeping right. all the water in the yeah. Pride Lands. That falls and collapses in the main fight, that water comes a-rushing, and then over time it all becomes one great Pride Land togetherness, the whole point of the movie.
But that got dropped somewhere along?
It feels like that was cut for time, but there's still, like, this giant wall of sticks.
It's weird.
That they have to climb up to get back. So then that's the thing. But if they're on that side of the wall of sticks, they had to be in the Outlands. So at some point, Simba, in their conversation, in their, you know, man-to-man walk, should have been like, hey, we're in the Outlands. What's up with that?
I don't know.
So Kovu could have been like, oops, force of habit. Let's stay on the safe side. Then again, the Outland Lions show up in the Pride Lands so many times.
They do. They just wander in casually.
So.
I'm like, Andy Dick Lion is dead. All right.
Yeah, he dies.
Am I supposed to care, like, at all?
He's. So, again, I feel like there was this plot of, like, oh, we'll have this older but not thought about lion.
Which
will be a very interesting parallel to the Mufasa Scar, where Scar is the younger,
right,
not thought about lion. And, oh, Scar takes special attention and care of the younger while abandoning the older, mirroring, like, his issues with being the younger sibling.
Totally fine.
There's so much stuff there that you can, like, look at, unpack,
instead,
really deconstruct.
It was really just Andy Dick Lion.
There's nothing there.
No.
It's like,
he's annoying.
Here's all your setup, and it's like, thanks, we don't need setup.
He's gonna die, though. That'll be fun.
And so, he's doing it, like, clearly to, you know, finally make his mother notice him, since she's all about Scar, and Scar was apparently all about, like, this younger kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, at the end, he's like, I'm sorry, mother. I tried, and earlier draft of the script is like, I'm sorry, mother, I tried. I guess you finally notice me now.
Yeah.
Dies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and like, but they're like, no, we don't need this part.
So, in the process, Kovu gets a scar, which I thought was way too on the nose. That was so unnecessary. And then everybody blames Kovu for Andy Dick Lion's death, but Simba also thinks it's his fault for wanting to, or for bringing him back to that land. So, like, Kovu's on everybody's bad side.
Yeah. So Kovu goes back to Pride Rock. He's like, I didn't do it. Please forgive me. And he's like, nope, you're exiled.
And then we get the disgrace song.
So it really was weirdly jarring that, like, the giraffe started talking.
Deception. Disgrace.
And I guess, like, they technically sang in Just Can't Wait to Be King. Everybody did.
Yeah, but, like, they've never really talked a lot.
They haven't.
There's no reason for them to be there at all. Like, they've all gathered as though somebody's been born, and, like, nobody has.
Well,
it's not a christening.
The giraffes talk, the zebras talk, the antelopes talk, and there's a little bit of, like, these are all food.
Yeah.
Like, none of them talked, had actually, they sang a little bit, but then had no conversation in Lion King, and I think that makes me feel a little more comfortable with the fact that, like, our main characters want to eat these things.
Yeah, yeah.
But now they talk, and they sing, and
the only thing that I really remembered from this movie was this song, and the reason that I remembered this song was because there's this great post that goes around Tumblr sometimes with a little drawing of one of the zebras from this song going, "Death grace!" And it makes me laugh so hard.
So, also, the elephants and rhinos are, like, stomping to make the percussion for this
so
song.
Weird.
And it's, like, this stompy, stompy march song going on.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, now, Kovu's been banished, and Kiara's
really angry.
Yeah.
She, like, literally tells Simba that he'll never be Mufasa at some point. I'm like, jeez! All right.
Well, so she's basically sent to her room.
Yeah.
And so to escape, she punches a hole in Pride Rock.
So good! Just so random.
She punches a hole through the rock.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is the banishment part of Romeo and Juliet and how it should have gone, where Juliet was like, nah, I'm just going to go be with Romeo. Bye, guys.
up and away.
Yeah.
Boom.
I would love to watch Juliet in some sort of production of Romeo and Juliet literally punch through a wall to get out.
And then we get this, basically, I will always love this person song, Love Will Find a Way song, that is clearly being sung by Kiara and Kovu, but they don't sing the song. Their voice actors are singing this song over images of them just walking.
It's weird.
Why aren't they singing? Well, it's a musical.
Well, that happened in Can You Feel the Love Tonight, though.
That did.
They never sang that song. That whole song. They never sang it. They had lines in between parts of it that they spoke, but, like, they never sang that song. So I guess it's an inner monologue song.
But they also only sang, they only have, like, two lines in so much of Can You Feel the Love Tonight is
Elton John.
Yeah, and that's, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, because also Circle of Life is just sung by, you know, whatever spiritual deity is looking over these animals.
The kings of the past.
And so they sang the opening to this movie, too, and I didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Like that, but there's so much, like, lingering shots on these characters not singing. You can hear them singing, but they're not singing.
Yeah, it feels lazy.
And they're, like, singing to each other, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a total duet.
So, at the very least, in Can You Feel the Love Tonight, they are singing to themselves.
Yeah. They're thinking, more or less.
But no, they're clearly singing these things to each other, not singing.
So the lionesses from the Outlands are gonna go kill Sippa.
Because they've been training for it their whole life.
I don't know why they didn't do it previously.
Like, to the point where
literally nothing has changed aside from, like, Kiara left, but they don't know that, so that's it.
Where, you know, the head bad lioness has a line that's like, all right, fight him in a pack, just like we trained. They have been training for the killing of Simba since apparently Lion King 1.
Yeah.
All right. So we get to this point where, like, Zazu comes up and is like, all right, here they come. It's going to be war. And everybody lines up to fight. And then we get this huge, like, expansive wide shot. We're like, oh, this is like six dudes versus seven dudes.
Yeah.
It just, this feels, Lion King 1 was like a battle for the soul of the Pride Lands. Everybody was involved. It was a big, high-stakes thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like the idea was here, like, okay, well, we're going to do a more personal story. We're going to do, you know, this more effective thing, which is great in principle, but didn't succeed. Because now it felt so inconsequential. It's like, oh, these guys are a little steamed at those guys. All right.
Fine.
Hope you work your differences out.
All right.
And I mean, there's nothing else happening in these Pride Lands.
Nope.
So I guess if we're going to watch something, it'll be these guys.
Great.
I do remember very specifically, as a child watching this first time, being very underwhelmed by the fight scene.
It's not great. But it's not necessarily the animation.
No, the animation is fine.
The animation's fine. There's just not enough
happening. It's very short.
Yeah.
It's a lot of lions kind of running into each other.
Yep.
I mean, Lion King 1 had Timon and Pumbaa fighting some lions. Yeah, and Rafiki had a bit where he fought some lions. Like, and then
there were little comedy bits interspersed, so it seemed a lot more serious. And it was literally, most of the time, it was either lionesses fighting off hyenas or Scar fighting Simba, which was a lot more dire and very scary.
Yeah.
And
it was extended, and it felt like there were specific varied scenes. Like, there was this scene where one lioness was fighting off three hyenas.
Yeah.
There was this chase bit. There was, like, you know, there was a variety of action going on in this one big overall fight. This was all some lions kind of ran to some other lions. There's a little bit of pause to the face.
And then Kiara and Kovu jump in the middle of a fight, and they're like, nah, we shouldn't fight. We should be friends. And everybody is okay with that.
Everybody's like, yeah, it is time.
except for Sira, who's cranky. And literally has a line that says something like, I can't let it go, or whatever, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, because it wasn't a fact when this movie came out. But now Let It Go is, like, a big Disney thing, so Simba's like, you need to let it go. And she's like, I can't let it go. And they said let it go, like, four times.
It's so
like,
funny. So funny.
That's funnier now than it was back then.
And then, okay, so Zira goes after Simba. Kiara jumps in front of him. They fall somewhere or something.
They're and falling. Then, and then the river finally breaks through
the stick thing. Blah, and then Zira dies.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess she had to die because there needs to be some punishment of the bad guy.
Yeah. And then...
Why was Kiara the one chosen to be like, give me your paw?
I don't know. She's there, I guess?
Well, like... Okay, it could have been like Kiara, Simba, or Kovu.
It should have been Kovu.
Kovu has this weird thing of like watching his mom die. Like,
yeah.
That's still his mom.
Yeah. She's not a good mom by any stretch of imagination, but like, she should probably still at least upset him a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I feel like, I feel like Simba would have been the one. Because the movie's called Simba's Pride.
Yeah, that's fair.
Simba needs to learn how to. Learn how to deal with his pride and put his pride back together.
But then Simba is solely responsible for all of the lion deaths in all of the movies, and that seems a little odd.
Well,
except for Scar, I suppose.
Yeah, but she doesn't need to, like, she's clearly, it isn't like a thing where, like, I tried, but I was too late. It was like a, here's the paw, all you gotta do is take it, and there was an, I reject this help from this person.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And then at the end, everybody's happy. And I'm sure Simba's very happy, because he's doubled his harem size. Great. That's all I could notice is, like, girl line. Also one boy. Two boys, I suppose. And then there's a celebratory group roar, and that's the end of Lion King 2.
Where nobody moves.
Yeah, nobody moves the entire time. They, like, join the circle, and nobody's moving.
Yeah, I had hoped that I would have been like, I was just being unfair at the beginning.
No, it's bad.
Because so many people were like, Lion King 2 is my favorite sequel. And enough people did that where I was like, maybe I was just being unfair because of my true and deep love for Lion King.
Lion King 2 is people's favorite sequel for a couple of reasons. One is that they were like 12-year-old furries on DeviantArt, and they really liked Kovu, who again is voiced by Max Goof. And the other is that they saw it young enough that they didn't care. That it was just more, like, Lion King stuff, so they thought it was good. That's pretty much it. I mean, I guess you can legitimately like this movie, but, like...
Stop it.
If you could just not, that would be great.
This is... okay, and the thing is... So we've watched, as our sequels, recapping our sequels, were Return of Jafar, Prince King of Thieves, for Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Enchanted Christmas, Beauty and the Beast, Spells Magic World... And Pocahontas, and then this one.
Yeah.
Pocahontas, surprisingly well.
Pocahontas surprised me in how not terrible it was. It was still bad, but it wasn't
The Aladdin sequels were, like, inferior, but genuinely held up to my enjoyment as a child of them.
Yeah.
And then Beauty and the Beast, as far as Belle's Magical World goes, like...
We have very differing opinions about the Christmas one.
But Belle's Magical World... was so bad.
It was so bad.
Like, it went to a comical absurdity.
It was so bad it was funny again, but it wasn't supposed to be.
But, like, Lion King 2 is just frustrating.
It was boring.
And it's like, there's so much...
I see where they were coming from. For almost everything, I get it. They just didn't quite get there for anything.
I feel like my complaints are made up of three overarching things of, like, they didn't explore a lot of deep stuff they could have explored.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing happening that's not the main characters, and the anime, they don't move.
Yeah.
And and they're cartoons instead of, you know,
real
things that just happen to be animated. So it's just, like, a few complaints, but every single moment of this movie is an example of one of those complaints. Yeah.
It's bad.
And it's just, it's so frustrating to watch. Because it's constant.
I'm like... I think it's especially bad because I can see where they were going, and they could have done well.
Well, and this is still early enough that I feel like this is early enough, and it's The Lion King.
Yeah.
And think about how The Lion King was revered in 1998.
Right.
Like, if there was ever a time to be like, let's do a real, true, you know, genuine sequel to a Disney movie. Right. Let's go. Let's do this right. Let's do it awesome. This was the time.
Right, right. Yeah. And it really feels like somewhere along the line, it went from, I really want to make a good sequel, to that sort of, like, cash grab type sequel that we have come to know and not love.
And acknowledge.
Have come to be aware of.
But, yeah, sorry if you like it. It's not good.
It's really
I can't be like, differing opinions later. Nope.
Now, that's not saying that I'm not going to be going, deception, for the next, like, week in my head. But, like, no. So not worth it. So not worth it.
Sorry. Next time. So there's one big of the big Disney Renaissance 4 that has a sequel that we haven't covered yet.
Right.
Which is Little Mermaid 2. Okay. So we're going to do Little Mermaid 2.
That's another one that people like.
I have not seen Little Mermaid 2.
I think I've seen bits and pieces of it.
I am very hesitant about Little Mermaid 2 because it has that, like, Ursula has a crazy sister that we've never heard of before. Because
they exploded Ursula, so they can't do anything with that.
And I feel that's very similar to Scar has a crazy ex-girlfriend-style character that we've never heard of before.
I'm not excited to be good, but I don't have high hopes for any sequels. So.
We'll see.
Yay.
Until next time. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody. Deception. Disgrace. Evil is plain as the scar on his face. Deception. And outrage.